We're going to have Shirley come up, and she's going to lead a Bible study tonight.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God we serve the living God. And oh, we can worship him now. We can acknowledge him now. I'm so very, very thankful. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, well, God's been good. You know, we go through crazy things and many things we don't understand, but how he helps us. And, you know, in the midst of things we may not understand, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He's moving things around. And who's to know just all my the reasons why at times. But I know one thing, we can trust our God. I mean, know we can trust him. Oh, praise the Lord. He's putting everything in place. Even the events of this world are not coincidence. But God's working his plan. And praise the Lord. It's going to unfold little by little as he wills and as he makes it happen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad we know this. So glad we have a God that we can trust. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And thank God we can be here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I know we need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. Praise our God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, your great grace, your great kindness to us, Lord. Thank you for salvation, that you lifted us up out of the miry clay, Lord, and oh, established us in the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, but you have created us. And oh Lord, you are working in us. You are making us new creatures in Christ. And God, I just pray, oh Lord, that your work would be finished in us. Oh Lord, that we would become that creature in Christ that you have ordained, Lord. Oh God, that, oh God, our lives would be a glory unto thee, Lord. Oh God, a blessing, Lord. Oh God, unto others. Oh Lord, you know how to take us, just dust of this earth, and make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. I pray that you'd work here tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd meet the needs of your people. Oh God, I pray that you teach us, Lord, and instruct us. Oh Lord, talk to our hearts, encourage our hearts, strengthen our spirits, oh Lord. Oh God, talk to us. Oh God, for you know every need. Oh God, and oh God, you know how to answer. We thank you, Lord. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Let your word have free course. Oh God, in Jesus' precious name, oh Lord, I give it to thee. Ask for thy help, thy mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Okay, praise our God. We're going to go into the Word of God and in some Old Testament and some New Testament here tonight. We'll call this message Out of the Abundance of the Heart. Amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. I'm going to go first of all to Proverbs chapter 30, and this was a curious passage that I noticed, oh, I guess a few weeks ago actually, and you just like, oh my, said and noted. Oh, praise the Lord. But anyway, we're going to read a few verses here to start here out of Proverbs chapter 30. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, I'm going down to verse 11, and these are the words it tells us of Agur, the son of Jakal, and a prophetic utterance it mentions, but you know, we don't know anything about Agur particularly. At least my reference guides didn't have anything to say. But anyway, here he is. He's doing this passage of scripture here. And let's just look at some of it here. Verse 11, praise the Lord. It says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And then it says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is now washed from their filthiness. Verse 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Oh, curious passage here. And, you know, I know for sure that things have changed tremendously in my lifetime. Parents had a lot more authority, or when I was young, it was before some of these times that, you know, a doctor, New Age person who decided that, Dr. Smock, I believe his name was, that, you know, brought up the thought that children should not be spanked. And yeah, that just kind of was coming into being when I was a young adult, or maybe before that actually, and I was just sort of catching on, I guess, at that time. But it has done great damage. You know, in earlier years, if somebody had a potty mouth, so to speak, you know, mother or dad would wash it out with soap, or maybe you'd get a slap across the face. And, you know, teachers in school would not tolerate it either, you know. And, you know, generally people had a lot more respect if you were in the company of others. Generally people, you know, watched their mouths. But, you know, things have gone amok, I would say, in so many ways. And it seems like it could well describe this generation, that 11th verse. A generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. You know, it just seems that scripture has been forgotten. The very fact that we are told in the Ten Commandments to honor thy father and thy mother.
Amen.
That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that was just fundamental. That was just something that, you know, was expected, that we would have a respect towards our parents and, you know, understand their authority. And, you know, yes, believe me, I knew, wow, if I did certain naughty things, I was going to get it, you know. There, it would happen. And yet these days I've heard children sass their parents in terrible ways and show them no honor. And you know, it hurts. It hurts to hear that, because it's a total disgrace. It's a total shame. It's, you know, so contrary to God's ways and his word. But here, yes, Edgar was prophesying, I would say, here about a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And then that 12th verse is rather descriptive too, I would say. It says, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness, you know, thinking in themselves that, you know, they're fine, you know, and that they don't need to seek the Lord. They don't need to bend their knees. They don't need to repent of their sins. Oh my, you know, they just see it, you know, they're fine, you know, they are thinking, oh my, that they're pure in their own eyes. And yet, oh my, they have not been washed from their filthiness, regardless if they know it or not. Oh my, if they haven't come to the Lord in true repentance and surrendered their lives, then oh my, they're walking in their own filthiness. Those sins are attached to their backs. Oh my. And then, oh yes, that generation that's so lofty in their own eyes, so proud. Oh my, so full of it. Oh, yes, just lifted up with that kind of pride in their hearts. And yet, oh my, their teeth are like daggers, it appears. And oh, you know, they might say things out of their mouths, but inside, oh my, there's evil thoughts. And oh, yes, desire to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. No regard for human life. Well, my. It seems like these things have come to pass. But oh my, you know, we need an esteem for God's law. It needs to be in our hearts. You know, there was a time when the Ten Commandments were written on the school boards there in the schools. And I just do recall, I think one of the states, it may be Oklahoma, I'm not sure. Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. Recently decided that they were going to post the Ten Commandments in their schools. And thank God, because for the most part, those Ten Commandments are being tread upon. Oh, yes, you know, people don't regard them. And you know, people are walking in their own lusts and in their own ways. But oh, yes. Things are so much better when, oh, we do have a reverence for the things of God, and oh, we have a deep regard for God's word, and that fear of God, oh, is in front of us so that, yes, we know our need to follow it and to esteem it highly, and oh, yes, know, oh, that we better, yes, live accordingly because, yes, His word talks about judgment. It talks about a time when we're going to stand before the Lord. And oh, yes, if we have any sense in our heads at all, we know we better bend our knees right now. We better get right with God right now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, so going here to Psalms 19. I'm going to start with verse 7. It tells us, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Yeah, there's no other way that we're going to get changed and get right with God. It's all in this book, this wonderful Bible that we are so blessed to possess. Yes, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Oh, yes, we can come to Him in our ignorance. And yet, oh yes, if we will take His word at heart, if we will follow it, if we will embrace it, oh, it knows how to make us wise. And yes, the wisdom of the Lord that calls us to repentance. Amen. That's the beginning. Oh yes. When our lives begin to change and oh, we've done the best thing that we could possibly do while we walk this earth, get right with the Lord. Oh, yes, repent of our sins and obey the gospel. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. That need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, it makes wise the simple. And it goes on. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. All these attributes, you know, that you couldn't put on any other literature. Oh, not, you know, being perfect and sure and right and pure, enlightening the eyes. And then it tells us, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Oh, yes, the esteem for the word of God. Oh, yes. Oh, so much more valuable than gold. Oh, so much more sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Oh, amen. And then verse 11 tells us, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's a wonderful end to embracing God's word and following them. Amen. Oh, yes, but yes, if we didn't have it, how would we know how to walk? How would we know how to behave? How would we know how to live? How would we know how to be saved? And yes, it warns us. It warns us. Oh my, so, oh yeah, you know, if something is in discord with God's word, then we better get right, right? We better make the change. Amen. So it tells us, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. And oh, yes, you know, we're told in Psalms 139, oh, that need for the Lord to search our hearts and try our thoughts and see if there be any evil way in us. Oh, yes, so that we can walk in the everlasting way. Oh, yes, so that we can walk in his uprightness. Oh, praise the Lord. We can be led in the way everlasting. Amen. Amen. Oh, such a need for the Lord to search our hearts and try our thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in us and to lead us in the way everlasting. Oh, yes. So it tells us in verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Oh, sins of pride, arrogance, overconfidence. Let them not have dominion over me. And then it says, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Oh, the fall of man in the beginning there, the Garden of Eden, I would say there. And oh, yes, oh, we want to be right with God. Oh, that's what life is all about, that, oh, yes, we would bend our knees and submit our lives to Almighty God. He's Almighty. Oh, he's the righteous King. Oh, my, we're going to stand before him and give an account. And oh, yes, we have this small little time, this small little space to get right with God and to walk in his precepts. Oh, to hide his word in our hearts, oh my, that we would sin not against him. Amen. And then this chapter 19 ends by saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's it. Oh, we want, oh, yes, the words that come out of our mouth to be something that the Lord can accept. Oh, yes, that it would meet his approval. And oh, even the meditation of our heart. Oh, yes, let it be right. Oh, yes, you know, we need so desperately to be right and to regard God's ways in his rules. Oh my, praise the Lord. Oh yes, we know that it tells us in Proverbs the 23rd chapter that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And you know, what you meditate on and what you dwell on, you know, that's going to be the person that you come out to be. You know, if your heart is bent upon riches and, you know, all day long you're thinking about how you're going to make more money and, you know, you're just striving for that, then, oh my, you probably devise ways to make money. You know, you probably do it because that's what's in your heart. But I pray that that isn't what is motivating us. I pray that there's something greater within that is tugging in our hearts and, oh, helping us to realize the great need to walk with the Lord, to keep his commandments, his precepts, his laws, oh my, to hide them in our hearts and to walk in his ways. Amen. I pray that that is, oh, how we are thinking. We have that esteem for God's laws and his ways. Oh, be not like those that disregard it and that ignore it and, you know, might have a Bible, but it's just sitting someplace buried and, you know, all dusty and, oh, maybe still in the wrapping for all I know, maybe in the box and, you know, hasn't been opened and, oh my, if it is, it's a blue moon and, you know, don't much know it. then oh my, how can you be warned? How can he keep his precepts, you know? If you haven't regarded his word, if you haven't looked into it, you know, if it's just getting dusty on the shelf. Oh, how we need it. And oh, yes, we need to dwell on its precepts and make them the way we think and the way we live. Amen. Because if you're dwelling on God's word, if that's where your meditation is, then praise the Lord. You know, you're going to strive to be like the Lord, to keep his word and to go forth with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, the words that come out of our mouth are so showing. And, you know, it reveals what is in the heart. And so we're going to just go to a few scriptures right now to just cement that detail. Let's go to Leviticus here for an example that the Lord brought to my attention a while ago, fairly recently, about a few weeks ago. Chapter 24, Leviticus. And here it tells us here, of course, they're under the law at this time, and the first part of this chapter is very, very good too. I might go back to this at some point, but we're going to verse 10 here. And it tells us, and the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out, okay, did I read that right? And the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. So here we got this boy, this son of this Israelitish woman, and that's an interesting description there. Obviously, she was married to an Egyptian, so I don't know, she maybe wasn't fully embracing the Hebrew way. But anyway, this son of this woman, whose father was an Egyptian, he went out in the camp of Israel, and there was another man of Israel there, and they had a fight. They strove together in the camp, it tells us here in verse 10. And, you know, whatever all happened in that striving, it tells us, and the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Tibri, of the tribe of Dan. And so here, this curious thing, and we don't have a whole lot of detail, but anyway, whatever went on in that fight between those two men or boys, I don't know the ages, but anyway, this Israelitish woman's son, he blasphemed the name of the Lord. In other words, that name that is above every name that should be held in great reverence as a very sacred name was spoken of in a irreverent way there, you know, in a manner that showed great disrespect. He reviled that name of the Lord. And it tells us he cursed. And obviously it was heard, and there was a concern here. That was pretty nasty what had happened. And so those that were in on this, who were watching the fight or heard what followed, you know, this awful language of this Israelitish woman's son when he let loose and just blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. Oh my, that wasn't good. That wasn't proper. That was awful. That was a disgrace. Oh, that was, you know, something not tolerated. So they brought him unto Moses, and then it tells us his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Tibri, of the tribe of Dan. And, you know, obviously they didn't quite know what to do with him at first, so it tells us in verse 12, and they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. So, in other words, they're going to wait on the Lord till they know for sure how to react to this. And that's a good thing, you know, when you get to a point, you know, where you're just not sure and not confident, you know, what needs to be done. It's good to wait on the Lord and just, you know, maybe get into the scripture and figure out what God would say and what his will is, or down on your knees to, you know, ask God until you just know of a certainty how to behave, how to come forth with the answer. And the Lord was faithful in this matter, tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Oh my, so there you hear it. God was not going to tolerate this individual who blasphemed his name and cursed. It was going to be smitten. It was going to be taken out of Israel, this such a one that had that mentality. And oh my, we don't stone people at this period of time, but it tells us how God judges such actions, such words. And it tells us quite clearly that God does not tolerate blaspheming his name, or he does not tolerate being cursed. It's a shame, it's a horrible thing. We're told in Psalms 139 that it's the enemies of God that take his name in vain. And of course, we're told in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So those that let loose with their mouths and say these horrible things are putting a curse upon themselves. And God hears it, and God will judge it, unless there is a true and genuine repentance. Oh yes, we need to mind the words of our mouth. And oh yes, oh, even the meditation of our heart. Oh yes, that it would be appropriate, that it would be right in the eyes of God. Amen. Jesus had a bit to say about this too. We could turn now to Matthew, the 12th chapter. I'd like to read a little portion of scripture from this wonderful chapter, Matthew chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here it's told us, Matthew 12, and I'm going to verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. And you know, wow, yeah. If you see, have an apple tree, you're going to judge it by the quality of fruit that comes forth from that tree, right? Amen. So yeah. Hey, Jesus is using that to illustrate our lives, you know, and we want to be a tree in that sense that is good and brings forth good fruit. It's only going to be one way or the other. It's either going to bring forth good fruit or it's going to bring forth bad. And it's only one way or the other with God. But he goes on, Jesus Christ, in verse 34. He says, "O generation of vipers," always not afraid to call them snakes. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Amen. So yes, the title for tonight's message, but yes, what's down inside is what comes out. So if all these ugly, dirty words are coming out of one's mouth, then that shows what's in the heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It speaks of the heart. And you're not hiding it, you know, when you did just let loose and let it come out. Oh, it's a disgrace. It's ugly as can be. It's a sin. It's horrible. It's something God is going to judge. And then he says in verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Again, just verifying that thought that what's in the heart, that's what makes the person. Amen. Oh, yes. You know, you better get right with the Lord. You know, you don't want to think all those ugly thoughts, and you sure don't want to speak them. Amen. And Jesus said, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak," and here the word idle seems to refer to something being useless and worthless, "that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." It's heard by Almighty God. He has records. He keeps records. God keeps records. Did you know that? Amen. And oh my, you don't want those things on your account. You don't want that in your record. You don't want it to be played back to you on the day of judgment. And then Jesus said, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In other words, words matter. You don't want to let loose with your tongue. And you know, you don't want to have wrong opinions and, you know, have, you know, a gossipy manner and all those other things that can come out of the mouth. Oh yeah, we know. We're told in the book of James what evil the mouth can do. Oh, yes, you know, James wrote in the third chapter of his book that in verse 5 there, that "even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And he said the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. "So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Oh my, you know, Hitler and his rabble-rousing there, oh my, on the 20th century there, the earlier part, his speeches. Oh, look what he did with his mouth. Oh my, and how the devil uses it. And of course, you know, that had a large impact, but nevertheless, even if, oh my, just one other person hears it, it's not good. And of course, for sure, the Lord's going to hear it. And oh yes, that ugly thing, those ugly words that come out of the mouth, oh my, defile the whole body, it tells us here, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So it tells us in verse 7, "For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Oh, yes, he goes on. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no man, or so can no fountain, both yield salt water and fresh. And it tells us in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Praise the Lord. What's in the heart? Oh, yes. And of course, we know it takes God to tame the tongue. Amen. It's such a beautiful thing that we can surrender our lives unto God. Oh my, and he can take that unruly member that is full of those poisons, and oh my, they can do so much damage. And he can tame it. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord can tame our tongue. Oh, praise the Lord, as we yield our hearts to Almighty God, as we let him take our lives. And oh, yes, as we submit it unto him and say, Lord, oh, take my life and make me what I ought to be. Oh, yes, make me that person. And take my mouth and tame it. Oh, I think it's so beautiful that when the Lord fills us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he takes that tongue. Oh, praise the Lord, that unruly member, oh, that no man can tame of ourselves. And oh, yes, he begins to take that tongue. And oh, yes, we begin to speak forth as the Lord moves our tongue. Oh, yes, so that we can speak in that language that, oh, yes, he brings forth. Oh, not understanding what we're saying, but oh yes, because the Lord is taking control of our lives and changing us. Praise the Lord, he takes that tongue. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, to make us that new creature in Christ, to tame it. Oh yes, oh yes, we can submit it to God and let him, oh, take our life and use it. Oh, yes, we don't want those evil works to be a part of us. It says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Oh, we don't want those things to be deep inside. They certainly will evidence themselves in one way or the other. And we don't want to deceive ourselves either, you know, thinking that, oh my, we're okay when we're not. Tells us this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But praise the Lord, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, praise the Lord, when the peace of God that passes all understanding is in our hearts. Oh, yes, it's going to make us what we need to be, to bring forth that fruit of righteousness which is sown in peace. Oh, yes. Oh, then therefore we become a peacemaker. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, among men. And in the eyes of God, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God knows how to help us. And oh, yes, he has other words. Oh, yes, as we walk with him and we allow him to tame our tongue. He tells us in the fifth chapter of James, verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. If you have to take an oath in order to be a part of a club or some other detail, I think we're told very clearly right here that it's forbidden. We don't swear by heaven, neither do we swear by earth. neither by any other oath, it tells us here quite clearly, but rather, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay.
Amen.
Lest ye fall into condemnation. Oh my, yeah, so declare what we mean. And you know, say it, yes or no.
Amen.
Lest we fall into condemnation. Amen. Amen. And oh yes, as we walk in faith and before Almighty God, our words will show so clearly what is in our hearts and how we think. And also in the book of James, here, the fourth chapter, it tells us, verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh, and that is so true. But then we're told how we need to express ourselves. You know, oh, you can make all these plans and they, oh my, thus oh my, the Lord allows it, they will not come to fruition. You know, and you know, things can change in a moment. We should know that by now, right? Amen. But we're told here in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Amen. It's so in his hands. Our whole life is in his hands. And, you know, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But praise the Lord, you know, if we make plans, we need to just put it in God's hand and say, if he will, if he allows, he will, you know, make us, allow us to do such a thing by his grace, by his mercy. If, yes, God permits, amen. So yes, this tells us how we need to think and how we need to express ourselves as a child of God, amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm 34, has some wonderful words to encourage us here, to teach us. Tells us here, Psalm 34, starting with verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And you know, Peter obviously thought this passage so important that he quoted from it there in 1 Peter, the third chapter. Oh, yes. You know, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Yes, in verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Oh, you don't want to be full of guile, which denotes craftiness or cunningness or deception, deceit, all of those characteristics. You don't want to have lips that are crafty, that are full of deception. God forbid that that would be a part of our person. Oh my, yes, and what a need to depart from evil and to do good. Seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And that's so beautiful. Oh yes, oh yes, when you've turned it over to the Lord and you're walking, oh yes, in his ways, oh yes, as he directs us, he helps, as we submit to him, praise the Lord, he tells us his eyes are upon his people, his righteous children, amen. And thank God his ears are open unto their cry. Oh, thank God he hears us when we cry. Oh, yes, when we're afflicted, when we have trouble. Oh, thank the Lord. But oh, yes, he is looking for people that, oh, yes, submit their lives unto him. And oh, yes, allow the Holy Ghost to tame the tongue, oh, to keep it from evil, and our lips from speaking guile, oh, by the power and might of God, amen. We depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it, amen. And oh, yes, the wonderful promise, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, despite the many afflictions of the righteous, which verse 19 tells us, it says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, thank the Lord. He's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit, those that will submit their lives, their tongue, over to the Lord Jesus, and allow him, oh, to fill that heart, oh, that void, oh, with his spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. So, yes, what comes out of the heart will show what is inside. And, oh, yes, we must be so careful that, oh, yes, we have given it over to the Lord so that we are an ambassador for his kingdom. We, you know, represent his kingdom, his righteousness as needs to be. Otherwise, we are a reproach. We are a disgrace. He's not proud of us. You know, there's nothing good to be said for those that reproach his name and speak evil and blaspheme and have a wicked, evil tongue. Oh, there's nothing good to be said about that. But oh, yes, we want to give it over to the Lord. And if we will now turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I think the Lord will instruct us just a little bit more how we should walk in the Lord and how we should behave. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. It tells us here, 21, verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. And the word conversation here in the New Testament actually refers to more than what comes out of our mouth, but it actually indicates our behavior and conduct, our manner of life. All of those things are showed forth with our conversation in this sense. But here we're told to put off the old man, the former ways, before we knew the Lord, before we were converted. And you know that word convert, you know, I mean, that in itself shows that there's a transformation that takes place when we yield it over to the Lord and give it to Jesus Christ. Amen. So we don't want to walk in the old ways of the old man. We don't want to listen to the old lusts and do those things that we once did when we did not know the Lord. So we're told, verse 22 again, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And oh, we're told to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, yes. Oh, that need to delight in the law of God after the inward man, as it tells us in Romans chapter 7. Oh, yes, let the Lord, let his word, oh, change us and renew us. And oh, yes, oh, make us what we ought to be in the Lord. And we're instructed here in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. And it says created. Oh my, it's God who is the creator. You know, man sometimes uses that term. You know, he does something and he says he created it. Well, that's absolutely impossible, because to create means to make something out of nothing. And that's how we were before we knew the Lord. We were nothing. But praise the Lord takes us to reform us, to make us a new creature in Christ. So the old things are passed away and all things become new. Praise the Lord. So he begins his work of creation in our lives. Praise the Lord. So we're told here, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, we know good and well our own righteousnesses, Isaiah chapter 64. You know, it's filthy rags in the sight of God. Well, you know, we have no righteousness of our own, no matter what we try to do of ourselves. But oh, praise the Lord. Oh, when we become that new creature in Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, a separation from the world. Amen. That's what holiness means. Oh, we're not living that old lifestyle. Oh my, we're changed people and we're separated, oh, from the ways of the world and the, you know, people that, you know, you can't get too close when you're walking the straight and narrow way. At least we're warned to have the need to, oh yes, walk in that holiness. Amen. So yes, as we do our new man, as we lay aside the old man and put on the new man, it tells us in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Amen. So yes, speak the truth. Oh yes, there's no room for pretense in this walk with the Lord. Verse 26 tells us, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Oh my, don't let it, you know, get down deep inside. So, you know, you got that bitterness and, oh, you know, all that, those wicked feelings inside. You don't want to go to sleep with that kind of emotion in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. Oh my. So, you know, if you're angry, let it be righteous indignation, and don't sin, you know. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Give it over to the Lord. You know, if something makes you boiling mad, give it over to Jesus. Please give it over to Jesus. Amen. So you don't go to sleep with those kind of emotions. And then it tells us, neither give place to the devil. And oh yes, we've talked about this before. It's telling us, don't give the devil a seat to sit on in your life. And that means you don't want to invite things that would entice him to come in and live in your very being. You know, you could do that. Oh my, if you look at nasty stuff, if you read nasty books or look at nasty movies or, you know, filthy magazines, oh my, embrace things of the occult, oh my, you're inviting the devil to have a place to sit if you entertain such things. And here we're clearly told, don't give the devil place, neither give place to the devil. We don't want any of that stuff. Oh my, if it's evil, if it's not good, then we don't want anything to do with it. Amen. And then as we walk with the Lord, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Oh, praise the Lord, that change of life. Oh, yes, not trying to take advantage of people, not trying to take things that are not ours, oh, not stealing, oh my, but working honestly. Oh yes, so that we could also impart and help others that have needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is what we are being told as we come from that deadness of the old man and walk in the new ways. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so then it tells us, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, praise the Lord. You know he changes us. In our talk, our manners should not be like the old man, the old person that we once were. We don't want corrupt words to come out of our mouths. But rather, let our speech show forth that which is of the Lord, which is godly, which is of his righteousness, which is edifying, which would help to build up somebody else. Oh my, that we might minister. Oh, if we minister, then we serve. To be a minister means to be a servant, so that we may minister grace unto the hearers. And, you know, not only those that are in the church, but those that are without. You know, how are they going to know, you know, that we're a Christian if we, you know, behave like they do, if we talk like they do, you know, if we haven't changed? How, you know, what's the proof then? There's no proof that we belong to the Lord. They're just going to assume we're one of them. And oh, you see that. I think some things have been forgotten in this present world, you know, messages of repentance. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ, you know, you turn away from the old ways, you repent of your sins, you don't desire to walk in them anymore. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, you give those evil, ugly things over to God. So amen. They're not a part of your person anymore. Amen. And, you know, if you're walking in the way of the Lord, if you're that new creature in Christ, oh, my, there's going to be a difference. And people are going to note it. They're going to see, hey, why doesn't he say those nasty words anymore? You know, oh my, why doesn't he swear? Oh, you know, and say those F words and, you know, everything else that people just let out, you know, with hardly any regard. And it's a filthy time. People used to be a little, you know, more concerned about what people would think about their language. But, oh my, these days, it seems like it's popular to talk filthy. But here, we're told, if we belong to the Lord, we don't talk like that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our words are going to show who we are. Oh, yes, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, it's going to be revealed what's inside. And we're told in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, when you're not walking in the ways of the Lord, and pretending to be a Christian and, you know, letting filthy words come out of your mouth and filthy speech, and oh my, it shows in so many ways. Oh, our actions, our activities, the way we dress. I mean, it all has an impact, our whole manner of life. It you know, it comes out, it's speaking. People are watching. And they are reading us too. Oh yes, you see, are we really a believer in Jesus Christ? Do we really have a changed life? It all is going to manifest. And yes, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, yes, by walking in the old ways of the world. Oh, we're told here, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, yes, those nasty things, those nasty activities. Dressing in a way that's not becoming to a Christian. That's all a reproach. That's all a grief to the heart of God. Oh, yes, we don't want to grieve that Holy Spirit of God. Oh, God forbid. Oh, my, it's all telling. It all shows. Oh, yeah, he saves us on the inside, but it's going to be reflected on the outside who we are. Yes, amen. And what's inside, yes, will be manifest. And it tells us in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Oh, yes, so very clear here, you know, that bitter spirit, oh my, put it away. Wrath. Oh, so angry as somebody that, you know, you can hardly, you know, you're all red in the face and, you know, all upset, full of it. Oh, no. Anger, we're to put it away. Clamor, well, clamor, which is loud, demanding complaints and orders, that's not becoming of a Christian either. And then it says, evil speaking. It says, be put away from you with all malice. And we certainly wouldn't want to have a heart of malice. To have malice would be mean that you desire to hurt other people or see them suffer. You know, to show spite, to show evil will towards another. And you know, here we're told these things need to go. They must not be a part of us as a child of God. And then we're told, as this chapter ends, verse 32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, praise the Lord. He's done so much for us. Oh, what the Lord Jesus did for us in taking our sins. Oh, shedding his blood. So, oh, yes, we could be a child of God. Oh, yes, he has done so much to forgive us. Such wonderful love that we could not even begin to describe it. Oh, yes, oh, yes, we are told here the need to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And to read just a little more here into the next chapter, chapter 5 of Ephesians, it tells us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Oh, nothing more beautiful than the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ wrought for us. Oh, praise the Lord. He gave himself for us as an offering, as an atonement for sin. Oh, yes, that we might be reconciled to God, that we might be brought back to God. And so we're told in verse 3 here, chapter 5 of Ephesians, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. All these works of the flesh, they don't belong in the life of a Christian. Let it not once be named, it tells us. The act of fornication, and of course, adultery would come under that too, and all acts of uncleanness, these works of the flesh. They are not to be named even once among us as becometh saints. And then it describes how we need to not talk here in verse 4. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, or meaning appropriate, or suitable, but rather giving of thanks. And again, you know, the words that come out of our mouth, our manner of speech defines us. It tells who we are. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, oh, how it comes forth. No, we don't want any of these characteristics to be a part of us. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Oh, that's put rather bluntly, isn't it? But it's good. We know that, that would tend to be a whore, or participate in such, or an unclean person, as described in Romans, the first chapter, which, you know, talks about homosexuality. Oh my, nor covetous man who is an idolater, someone who covets things that are not his or hers. We're told that person does not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And it tells us in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And oh yes, his wrath is going to be poured out, oh, beyond anybody's imagination, when he comes as a thief in the night. Oh yes, as he comes to this earth to gather his children, but also to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, we don't want to be deceived. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It tells us, for the fruit of the Spirit, it is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is going to, oh yes, shine his light on every deed. It's either going to stand or it's going to fall. It's all going to be manifest. The light will be the light and the darkness will be the darkness. And oh, we don't want to be found in darkness. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, because the Lord called us unto repentance. So praise the Lord, unto a walk with the Lord. And it tells us, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Oh, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Our old man, we were walking as a dead man. Oh, yes, when we walked in those sins. But we're going to awake from all of that and arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. See that thou walk circumspectly, means carefully, prudently, cautiously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh yes, how he would have us to walk in his ways. Oh, and we're told here, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, let the Holy Ghost take over in our lives. Oh, yes, let the Lord shine forth. Oh, yes, put on Jesus, praise the Lord. Put on the new man, praise the Lord. And oh, it tells us, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, characteristics of the new creatures, how we think, oh, how it comes out. Oh, yes, the meditations of our heart. Oh, yes, the words, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Oh, yes, we want to keep this in mind. Oh, we want to have these things deep in our hearts. This is what we, you know, meditate on during the day. And all those spiritual songs, those songs, which many times are a sermon in themselves. Oh, yes, we want to keep them in our hearts, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, a thankful heart, a thankful spirit that comes forth as we submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord saved us so that we didn't have to be that old person, that old man. We didn't have to walk in those ways. We didn't have to talk like that old man. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to dress like that character. Oh my, but we could be a new creature in Christ, all representing the kingdom of God, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, such a beautiful thing. Oh, yes, when we turn it over. No, we don't want any rottenness of the flesh to come forth. Oh, no, we want to be a light. We want to walk in the light. Praise the Lord. We want to have fellowship with the light. Oh, yes. We cry to him. We pray to him. We ask him to make us new creature, a new creature in Christ. And oh yes, we ask him, as it tells us in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, he died to save us. Oh, to make us his new creature in Christ. Oh, yes, that, oh, yes, we would evidence our walk with him. The fact that we are walking in the light by the way we talk, by the way we act. Oh, yes, by the way we think, by the way we dress, how our manner of life is manifested. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, by his grace, by his mercy, no corrupt communications proceeding out of our mouths. Oh yes, but rather, oh, to the good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh yes, they might see Jesus in us. Oh yes, the light of the world in us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might reflect his person, his image. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. Oh, yes, and oh, we want to, oh, yes, let it be a heart that has been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make us what we ought to be in you, Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, let our words, oh, God, let our thoughts, oh, God, be a blessing, oh, Lord, in that which, oh, God, you would approve of, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my salvation. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to turn our chorus books to number 47 and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47.
Amen.
Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be what I ought to be.
Thank you. Thank you.